Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, our topic is Leadership by Choice, a new book that's by Eric Papp. You can give us a call at 347-324-3460. You can pose a question in the chat room. We'll read it on the air. Guess what? Without further ado, Eric, welcome to the program. Sorry about that. Eric, welcome to the program.
Oh, hey, Tim, thanks a lot. I'm excited to be
here. Yeah, I'm sorry that the technician didn't turn on the mic, but thanks for coming on.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. We live.
Can you hear me? I like that commercial, right? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. I was like, memorize.
Okay.
I guess tell us about yourself.
Yes, sir. My name is Eric Papp, and I provide organizations and associations with leadership keynote speaking as well as leadership training. I've worked for clients such as the American Dental Association. This week I was with Homeland Security and the U.S. Marines, did some leadership training for them. So I kind of go all over. I'm based out of Tampa, Florida. Come from two very loving parents, Alex and Cindy Papp. Have two brothers. I have a pet cat. And just love life.
Wow. Well, so,
all in between.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's all in between.
And how did you come about writing this book, Leadership by Choice?
Good question. I did a lot of seminars throughout the country on leadership, time management, communication, and a lot of different other realms in the realm of management. And people would come up to me after the seminar and they say, "This is fantastic. Can I get this? Can I get your book?" And I would look at them like a deer in headlights, like, I don't have a book. What are you talking about? And they're like, "Man, you should really put some of these ideas in a book." So this book came about just from participants coming out and just telling me, "Hey, you should put this in a book." And eventually one day I listened. So this is a culmination of about 4 years, 5 years of just out there what's tried and true and what's worked as far as practical application and stories. And that's kind of how it all came about.
Well, in your experience with them leadership, key managers, you know, is it developed or is it taught? Or you just naturally have it?
Ah, great question. I would say leadership, Tim, is something that is developed. You know, it's definitely you don't come out of the womb and it's like, you're a designated leader. That's not how it is. People usually are in a certain type of environment. They have mentors. They have role models. They have, you know, people where they worked for before. They're incredible executives. A good example of that is at GE when Jack Welch was there after he retired and moved on. It was something like five people that worked underneath him became CEOs of different companies. So it's definitely something that's always developed. You're always constantly, you know, working on yourself, getting better, and, you know, reading the right books and meeting the right people.
Mm-hmm. So do you believe, like, for example, you know, some people naturally you see, for example, is there such a person like a Captain Kirk in life who seem like they have it all together or know how to handle every situation? Is there a talent that some people have that others really don't?
Yes. Yes and no. I mean, there are certain qualities that some people are very charismatic. They're very they've got that quality of, you know, they're just, you know, very outgoing. They're very open. And that's a great quality to have. And you can lead with that, but also you can be somebody who's more internal, you know, somebody who's more soft-spoken, quiet, speaks with precision, and so that works as well. So there's no one right way to say, oh, you know, you're not a leader because you don't have the gift of gab, you know, which mm-hmm. is definitely not the case. I find most great leaders are first excellent listeners, and then they're good speakers.
is listening is part of the main ingredient, the number one ingredient that you need to have to be a good leader?
I would think so. I mean, I don't know about the number one ingredient. I mean, as far as if we're, you know, concocting a leadership recipe here, but I would say without a doubt, it's one of the core skills to have, because that's so often that I hear when I talk to people in different organizations is I'll usually get, you know, my boss listens to us and he cares about us, or my boss doesn't listen to us. And it's just a simple act of listening. You know, that's something that our society has gone away from, because we're so consumed with what our own business is. We're so consumed with what we have to do, our own to-do list. But that core aspect of listening to people, knowing their names. I'll give you an example. I did some work with a publicly traded company out of Texas, and I had great success there. And the workers, you know, were still telling about how the CEO of the company, you know, at the current, or the previous CEO, you know, went around and knew their names and stuff, and just was really just listening to people. And then now the current CEO doesn't do that. So I mean, just that aspect of listening really plays a vital role in how effective you are as a leader.
We're dealing with leadership and dealing with a group of people. You know, it's twofold. If a business starts from the ground up, he chooses his people as he go through his career or building his business. But some people go into leadership positions, like you just mentioned, the Texas company, that they come in from an outside company. Now they had to, they come in, and of course they want to have an iron hand because they want to show that they have control and respect of people. You're not necessarily going to get respect, you got to earn it. However, they're going to come in as a leader and give them their particular will. Is a way that a person, when they go into those type of situations, what should they do? Should they sit down and listen to people first and then run I know we're going into a management sense, but go there mm-hmm. and learn the culture, learn how they do things, then say, hey, this is how I'm going to do it a little bit better from my experience.
Absolutely. People, Tim, you need for them to buy into you first before they buy into your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that again. They need to be able to buy into you and who you are and what you're about and what your philosophy is before they're going to buy into your ideas. And how you get them to do that, the first step is listening to them. Hey, you know what? You guys have been at your job here 20-plus years. Before I come in with all these grand and glorious of ideas, even though I'm the boss or I'm the owner, I'm the manager, I want to know what's working. I want to know what's going on. I want to know, you know, because you obviously have a greater deal of experience than I do. So when a leader does that, they put themselves in that position as far as to listen. I mean, that right there. And then people are more apt to deal with change. People are more apt to then follow you because they know that, hey, you know, this person's listening. They're paying attention. They're not ignoring the previous success that I've had for X number of years. Just, you know, it's funny you mentioned this. Just had this example. I was with the Marines, and I had somebody in the audience talk about this in the department they were in. You know, somebody was coming in and trying to change all these ideas, and, you know, and this lady's been at her job for 20-plus years. And it's amazing. She's, you know, this person is getting so much pushback. And one of the reasons why is because she's just trying to come in and just trying to, you know, like you said, you know, have the iron fist and just say, okay, here's what I want to do, and here's my, you know, and putting all these ideas. And people are sitting back and saying, whoa. You know, we've been doing this for 20-plus years. Don't you at least want to know what's working? And don't you at least want to ask and solicit our opinion? So that's one of the critical components.
What about when you have situations that when you do walk into those type of environments like that particular company, and then they don't want to change? They're just doing things. Hey, they were running a system analog, and now we're fiber optic. You know,
mm-hmm.
How can you, as a leader, come in there and bring them and say, hey, at least we got to get digital first. You might can't take them to fiber optic, but you got to get them off that analog line. What do you say to a person in leadership to have to walk into that type of situation?
Well, the approach there is progress, not perfection, to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. And also keep in mind the philosophy of crawl, walk, run. crawl, walk, run. Sometimes leaders come into situations and they say, oh, my gosh, okay, we need to get this up to speed. We need to get this department over here. We need to get this one maximizing at this output. And people are just blown away by it. You can overwhelm people sometimes. So really it's a matter of progress and not perfecting each type of system or each type of outfit. And also the philosophy of, hey, you know what, let's make progress every day. Let's make progress every week. Let's make progress every month. And then let's chart it and let's see that. So that's one of the philosophies to have. Sometimes the ambitious leader can get very frustrated and burned out because their folks are not really, you know, right on board or at that same level they are. So that's one thing to keep in mind. And then also the idea is really that you have to, as a leader in a sense, you have to sell this change. I mean, you have to sell the idea of why is it a benefit to them. You know, for example, you gave the idea of going from analog to digital and then to fiber optics. And it's, you know, so if you're an employee there, you know, you have to tell them why, what's the benefit to it? Okay, the benefit is because it's going to make your job as the employer a lot easier. You know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to make it a lot more effective. You know, you're going to have a lot more, you know, you're going to know your priorities better. So really being able to sell that change, you know, that's one of the components. And then the second component as a leader is just not having your expectations through the roof, you know, keeping that mindset of crawl, walk, and then run.
Wow. Let's take, for example, you know, government, commercial, church, what else, that has strong history and strong personalities and companies. So if you take the GM, you take the federal government, you take, let's say, the Presbyterian Church, you take the military, you take all of those combinations, they have long-serving ways of doing things. And I think that's what the government always tries to, each organization, oh my gosh, you're dealing with an organization, in a sense, who's been around federal government, 200, you know, almost 300 years. Catholic Church, oh my gosh, been together for almost 2,000 years. Military, depends. You still have that personality. But what we're doing is, in General Motors, 100 and some odd years, you take those type of companies who have their own culture, their own identity, and bring in this fresh, new, shiny penny guy or girl come in to that organization, and, you know, resistance.
Resistance.
And in those type of situations, you're dealing with huge outfits. Even if you take just a little small department, you might be dealing with hundreds of people. And it's your new, you're the new little shiny penny, and you're trying to influence all these people. Do you think you need to bring them together and bring a workshop together and say, hey, we're going to take an hour a day to do this or do that? Because with a large group, it's kind of really hard to get your hands around that because you have one person saying this one, and you know the other person who's saying that one. And sometimes they kind of pivot against each other because they want to get brownie points. So when an executive go in that type of situation, what's your advice for that?
It's, one of the things is to keep in mind the two I's. You know, the two I's that makes your company profitable, sustainable, and that's going to keep you around for years to come is your ability to generate ideas and then your ability to implement. And some of the organizations, like you mentioned, that have been longstanding, they can be very bureaucratic. And when you have a very bureaucratic organization, whether it's the government or whether it's some church or religious affiliation, is that sometimes ideas never even, you know, come up, or they do come up and then people kill them. And it's very, very tough to get implemented because somebody stomps it out with, we've done that before. You know, we tried that idea back in 1997 and it didn't work. Or, you know, why do you do it like this? Well, that's the way we've always done it. And that's one of the most demotivating statements that you can say to somebody, right? You know, oh, that's the way we've always done it. I mean, that just, it kills ideas, it kills creativity. And, you know, you got to be very careful with that. Now, as far as instituting some type of change within a very tough, you know, environment like this, the one that's very bureaucratic and has a lot of levels and has a lot of red tape, one is to make sure it comes from the top down. It's very tough to initiate some type of change or some type of program from the bottom up. So making sure that if you can get at the highest level of influence in that organization, really having it from the top down, and then being clear with your message, being clear with what you want your people to do. Maybe it's some type of new program that you're rolling out, maybe like a new software program. Okay, so be very clear what it is, and then be very clear and simple. And the third component then is just repeat it. Repeat it. Because people are not going to pick up on them the first time. People are not going to, especially if they've been doing something for 20-plus years or 15-plus years, they're not going to pick up on this right away. So you need to repeat it. Repetition is the mother of all learning. So,
wow. We're going to take
to have that, and that way it'll keep your ideas going, and it'll keep you being able to implement.
Okay, we're going to take a break real quick, and we'll be back and talk more about your new book. Be back in a moment.
Okay.
You're listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. And we have our special guest, Eric Papp.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida, is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
We're back with Eric Papp. We're talking about leadership by choice. Eric, talking about your book, I'm looking at some of the highlights in your book, and you have chapters about speaking with influence, the importance of questions, which we talked about just so far. But then you talk about building a team, high-trust team. Can I talk about that particular high-trust team?
Absolutely. The reason why I address that in the book, it's the chapter Building High Trust Teams, is because what I see going on in organizations today is somebody in the department will say, okay, we need to have some team building. Okay, so Johnson, you've got, I'm going to put you in charge. You six people, you're a team. You guys are now a team. And, so now work together. And that never happens as far as people working together effectively, because one of the components of building high trust teams is the first establish trust among the individuals on the team, because people come with different motives, people come from different departments, people don't know each other. So one of the components there is having a trust level with each other, because once you have that trust level, then it sets the tone for the environment. And in the environment, you want an environment that is motivating, uplifting, and a high communication environment. If you don't have that, people don't trust each other, then you have an environment that's very low morale, people are walking on eggshells. So that's why the environment is very key. Also, you want an environment that people are able to engage in healthy discourse or healthy conflict. So if I have a problem with you, or if I disagree with what the idea that you brought up in the meeting, I can say something without you getting upset at me and saying, why is Eric saying that? Does he want my job, or does he, not the case whatsoever, just that we can actually, have a disagree, as opposed to walking into a team meeting and somebody, the team leader says, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this, and everybody just shakes their head and says, yeah, okay, that sounds good. And they walk out of the room, and they say, yeah, can you believe what the team leader said, Johnson said? That's never going to work. That's the worst idea I've heard. Yeah, okay, well, I guess we're going to have to just try to do it. So that's really what destroys a team, is that lack of trust, that lack of healthy conflict. So that's why it's very important to really know the components of building a high-trust team. And outline the others in the chapter as well.
Okay. And then you talk about in your chapter 3 about productivity. Can you talk about that? Okay.
Yeah. Part 3 of the book. So the way the book is structured, Tim, it's broken up into 4 parts that you can demonstrate your leadership abilities every day: communication, leading teams, productivity, and personal development. So part 3 is all on productivity. One of the things I find is a lot of folks out there can be not as productive as they could be. And that sometimes doesn't, not a fault of their own, but really when you talk about productivity, the first word that comes into mind is priorities, really knowing what your priorities are. a lot of times we're a society that's so focused on hours. How many hours did you work? You know, coming in, you know, oh, you were 10 minutes late. And, you know, or did you, you know, I worked, you know, 70 hours this week, okay? You know, no, that's the wrong mindset to have. The right mindset is to know what are your priorities. What are your priorities this month? Okay, what are your priorities next week? You know, what are your ultimate, your big priorities? So that's something that I really talk about is in the book as far as how to understand what your priorities are, prioritizing for productivity. And then also I have a whole chapter on the power of focus because I believe, you know, business owners and leaders, what really separates people from top performers from others is their ability to focus and then to combine that with self-discipline. And then you get somebody who's very productive, very effective, and producing results.
And then your fourth chapter is regarding personal development.
Absolutely. And that's something to be working on ourselves. If we call ourselves leaders, if we look at ourselves leaders, then we need to be on it every day. One of the little slogans I like to believe is, learners are earners and leaders are readers. Learners are earners
Wow.
and leaders are readers. And that is, we've got to learn every day. If we're going to be in charge of a group to lead people to the next quarter, to lead people into the next month, we've got to make sure that we're on top of our game. You know, constantly learning, constantly educating ourselves. I go to a lot of seminars. I go to a lot of different, hear a lot of different speakers speak and present, and I'm always up there, you know, taking a notepad. And even though I'm a speaker and an author here, I'm writing down ideas because I'm always learning. And I go through about 2 books a week or so just in the areas of management, business, and other topics as well. But there's such a vast array of information out there and just good content, and we need to just always be on the pulse.
Well,
that's what people look for.
Okay, who actually inspires you? Who you look up to?
Oh, you know what? I get inspired, Tim, every day. I mean, people I meet, you know, I have a chapter on my book called on the area of communication and the area of listening called Listen Like Aletha. And that was our housekeeper when I was at the University of Notre Dame. And she inspired me with her ability to listen and just was an incredible woman. But I'm inspired every day. From a consistent standpoint, my parents. My parents were just very influential to me. And they gave me 2 things I say that, you know, you give to any child, and just it's incredible watching them take off. One is unconditional love, and the second one was a work ethic. And I'm very blessed to have that and to have great parents. But I get inspired, you know, every day. I get inspired. I watch a lot of biographies. I've got on my DVR, so when I watch biographies of successful people, they inspire me. You know, when I meet somebody at a store and I just share, you know, and they share with me their 10-minute story, or something of them, you know, overcoming adversity. Wow, that's inspiring. I mean, when I'm at the gym working out, I see somebody really, you know, working hard. That inspires me to, you know, to do that extra 10 minutes, you know, to you know, push that last set out. So I think really we can be inspired by everyone we come in contact with, inspired and influenced.
Okay. If you can read something right now about the book and we're going to close things out and, just go ahead and try to pick a chapter or a phrase, something that speaks to your heart, and you can share with the people about your book.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, I'd like to share something, Tim, with the folks, that the way I end every presentation is I like to give people my wish, and that is my wish to your listeners. May the sun of optimism shine brightly upon you, and all your hopes, goals, dreams, and aspirations come true. And everyone that you encounter is a better person because they met someone like you. I hope I was that person on your show today, Tim. It's been a pleasure being here, and I thank you so much for having me on.
Great. Thank you. And this book will be released at the end of the month on June 26th?
June 26th, that's correct. And they can also, folks can go to my website and get 2 free chapters, ericpapp.com. They can download, get 2 free chapters. And then it's also available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Books A Million, and other places.
Okay. And also is available now on, I think you said Barnes & Noble with the Kindle?
Yes, correct. Anybody who has a Kindle from Amazon, they can actually get it as we speak right now and read it.
Okay. Well, perfect. Well, thank you for coming on to the program. Really appreciate it. And give me your website address again.
That's ericpapp.com, E-R-I-C, and then P-A-P-P, as in practice and preach peace, or persistence always produces prosperity. Eric Papp.
Great. Well, thank you for coming on to the program. I really appreciate it. Fighting Irish, you're from Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. We're going to shout out to the University of Notre Dame because I had to be there within the next few weeks. So I can't wait for the weather coming from Texas. So I can't wait to get that to the grass. So it's real nice.
Yeah,
it's, what, 60 cool. degrees right now in July.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Tim, thanks so much for having me on. It was a pleasure. And thank you, too, for what you do for business owners and for other people out there and just in bringing them content every day that they can use and apply. That's awesome.
Great. Thanks. I really appreciate it, Eric. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Again, it's been another episode of The Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. You can download this episode on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. Everybody, thanks for listening. The transcripts will be on the website for blog.applecapitalgroup by the end of the day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.